the steal. And Cousins spilled, and he's hurt.
Williams, played by Curry. An open shot. Shamit able to knock it down. First lead for the Clippers since it was 12-11. The rookie, Landry Shamit out of Wichita State, a first-round pick of the Sixers. They traded him to the Clippers, and hitting this clutch shot off the fake against Thomas.
Good morning. If you're just waking up, last night saw the biggest comeback in the history of the NBA playoffs as the Clippers ride from 31 down against the two-time defending champs to win a game number two. Plus, DeMarcus Cousins got hurt with a quad injury last night, and he could be out for the rest of the season. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Tuesday. How big of a deal, if DeMarcus Cousins is out for the playoffs, is that for the Rockets?
I feel like it's a huge deal just given what we've seen versus with DeMarcus Cousins versus Clint Capella. And I don't want to act like Clint Capella is DeMarcus Cousins' little brother or anything, and that he, you know, but he is. And this is a big deal. I don't know. We talked this morning earlier, Michael, and you kind of acted like this might actually hurt the Rockets, and I'm befuddled as to how
yes. This
is what your explanation is for that.
I hope it hurts the Warriors. Don't get me wrong, but I wonder, DeMarcus Cousins, how much he actually helps the Warriors in the playoffs, this DeMarcus Cousins, because he's not fast. He can't really keep up with the pace that they like to operate with. He wasn't really great in game one. And if you're telling me what's more likely, DeMarcus Cousins dominates Clint Capella, or the Rockets would have found a way to put a bunch of guys on the court with Cousins who make it really hard for him, and they outscore the Warriors a lot with Cousins on the floor. To me, the second thing is more likely.
This is the only thing that you have to remember, is that the playoffs is all about matchups and very specific lineup changes from night to night. Little rotation tweaks to where you gain an edge for one specific night. So what Cousins does is he adds an element to their game where they can play a certain type of style with both him and Draymond Green out there that they couldn't do before DeMarcus Cousins was out there. So I'm not sitting there thinking, hey, DeMarcus Cousins won't be out there for 40 minutes a night, because he wasn't going to be anyway. It's when they decide, hey, we're going to beat up on Clint Capella a little bit and we're going to do it with DeMarcus Cousins. They can't do that anymore, because that's what it comes down to in a close series, is those few little tweaks. Welcome back, Paul, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It was a fun bender over the last couple of days, but it's nice to come back, and it's nice to get this news coming back, because I really think this is huge for the Houston Rockets, especially if DeMarcus Cousins is out for the rest of the playoffs, as Adrian Wojnarowski has suggested. He's going to get an MRI on it today, so we will see what his actual status going forward is. But Seth talked about those individual matchups. The thing that the Golden State Warriors have the ability to do with DeMarcus Cousins is, first off, I think slow things down and take the Rockets out of the rhythm. But more importantly, I know that Clint Capella is a Swissman, and that the Swiss are notoriously neutral in all things, but he looks like a Frenchman going up against a German whenever he's going up against DeMarcus Cousins, which means it is bad. It is horrible. It is a surrender. And now you get to go back to, I think, what the matchup was last year, which is a coin flip depending on the Rockets' health. But this is why, Mike, you were correct in thinking and wanting the Rockets to play the Warriors in round number two.
Because of the injury part.
Because this could happen. Hell, we could see Kevin Durant might get injured by Patrick Beverley by the end of this series, too.
Here's my counterargument to this. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm having a real debate this morning in my head and my heart. My heart's very excited, because whenever bad things happen to the Warriors, I know it's an injury. You're not supposed to root for injuries, but damn it, these guys signed Kevin Durant 2.5 years ago. I'm not going to sit here and cry over spilt milk for these guys. But my head is telling me that DeMarcus Cousins going down might actually be a good thing for them. And I have a couple of pieces of evidence.
Might actually be a good thing for the Warriors.
For the Warriors, okay. Yes. I'll tell you why. Number one, the Warriors killed the Clippers in game one before they lost last night. In game one, DeMarcus Cousins played 21 minutes and he was a minus 17. Do you guys remember when the Rockets beat the Warriors when James Harden was sick in February on the road? In that game, I know Cousins got hurt in the fourth quarter, but he was also a minus 17 in 27 minutes, and Capella outplayed him. I agree that Capella can be outplayed, out-physicaled by DeMarcus Cousins. No doubt. But the idea that it would happen every single night in a best of seven, I think is vastly overstated.
No, that's true. I think that's true. But the last time we saw Cousins against Capella, I think means a lot more than the time that we saw Cousins against the Rockets without James Harden. I just think it means more because it was the last time we saw it.
You think about when Capella is able to really work over other centers by dragging them up and down the court and making them try to run with them. The Warriors are capable of playing good enough defense that the Rockets can't get into that mode of basketball. I mean, you see what happens when the Warriors play the Rockets. Like neither team is this 115 possessions per game type of team when they play each other. Everything slogs up a little bit. And DeMarcus Cousins helps in that kind of game. When you talk about mucking it up in the playoffs, DeMarcus Cousins is specifically the guy that can help you there. So I think this is huge because even if it would have only mattered in one or two games, you're talking about a seven-game series, and that could be the difference maker in the series. I'm very excited about it. And, Mike, no, don't ever feel ashamed of rooting for injuries with the Warriors.
I'm not rooting for them, but I'll accept my gift.
They have an unfair advantage. You have to practice asymmetrical warfare here. And not only did they already have Kevin Durant, then they added DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins goes there on a contract that he wouldn't have gone anywhere else because it's a Golden State damn Warriors. It's okay. You don't have to root for injuries, but be happy when they happen. It's not like people are coming down with cancer or something. They're tweaking a quad. They're getting an ankle. You have some kind of orthopedic issue.
Did you see his quad last night? I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was one of those things where like the quad on his way into the locker room, it was like popped out essentially.
So you could see the meat?
You could see the meat.
Was it spasming?
I don't know if it was spasming because I saw it still.
It was a compound fracture, essentially?
No, it was not.
What
it was not
it was popped out?
Like, there was a flexing section that was popped directly out of the quad. Not normal looking. Not even, like, muscular normal looking.
The
like,
way you described it made it seem like his muscle was sticking out of his skin like a really disgusting hernia.
Well, let's do this. Mike, Seth, and Paul were discussing the Warriors' loss to the Clippers last night and the fact that DeMarcus Cousins might be out for the playoffs with a quad injury. Here's Charles Barkley last night on TNT.
I just hope he's all right, man. I'm concerned, but that looked like my leg when I blew out my quad, and I'm just really concerned. The kid can't catch a break. But when I saw him walk into the locker room, I remember walking to the locker room, and he grabbed right where I grabbed. And I I'm not a doctor, but, man, I think he blew out his quad, and I hope he's all right.
I think he did too, and if people.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, what happens is if the tendon tears, then the muscle rolls up into the tendon, and the muscle roll up into the. So that's bad. Now I feel bad for saying it's okay to celebrate that. That sounds like a pretty bad one.
Well, it just looks very unappetizing.
I don't feel bad, but I'm gonna say I feel bad.
It's impossible to feel bad. They have Kevin Durant. They had all these great players, and they signed Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You can't feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Here's my other angle to this as the Warriors lost last night. This is a text message I got like 25 minutes ago from a friend of ours. I got a text saying, if the Clippers beat the Warriors, would this devalue a Rockets championship? And I was like,
oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because DeMarcus Cousins is out? Oh, stop it.
And let's not get into overreact mode for every individual playoff game. We've done this in the past with the Houston Rockets specifically. The Clippers are not winning this series.
So here's my more realistic question. The Warriors blow a 31-point lead last night at home to the Clippers, the two-time defending champs. In your guys' minds, does that make them more vulnerable or a lot more vulnerable than you thought the last couple days?
I think so. Now, how vulnerable, I think, is the question that's going to be very subjective, but who does this Clippers team have? It has 2 6th men in Lou Williams, who was awesome last night, and Montrezl Harrell. It has Patrick Beverley. It has Danilo Gallinari. It's a team, essentially, from a star power perspective, that you're really talking about like a rusty tow truck going up against a fast, souped-up car in the Golden State Warriors.
The fastest car.
Right, like the fastest car ever. And it's as if this car already has to go back into the shop, potentially. And honestly, I'm really wondering, with this Patrick Beverley and Kevin Durant matchup that Doc Rivers has put out there, if there's a chance that Durant and his spindly little Slim Reaper body ends up getting hurt too, Because Beverly has really been just trolling the bleep out of Durant in this series. Last night, I went to bed thinking, well, this series is over, but at the very least, it's kind of enjoyable to watch Patrick Beverly just get under Kevin Durant's skin. And I think now there's a chance he might get hurt, too.
Why would he get hurt, though? Like, what do you mean? Because like, it's not like he's... It's not like he's bullying him or anything. Like, you're afraid that Kevin Durant might try to punch Beverly or something?
Well, I mean, look, there's always a chance that Durant gets... And I heard you guys talking about this yesterday, that another technical foul for Kevin Durant. But I honestly, I think that Beverly could step on his ankles, do things that
go
he did to Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah.
Get under his ankle a little bit. Come on.
You've got
come
a
on,
lot
Patty.
A lot of listeners are agreeing with you, Mike. Mike, you're totally right. Cousins makes the Warriors bad. Bogut makes the Warriors what they really do best. Pick and roll threes. I'm not worried at all. Actually, I'm happy he's on the way out. That's from a paid text.
I'm genuinely trying to not be, and I don't think I'm coming across as argumentative. It's just more like my head is looking at this, and I'm just thinking, like, the problem with DeMarcus Cousins with all those other guys is that DeMarcus doesn't really play the way they play. Now, maybe DeMarcus 3 years ago could because he was a better athlete, but since the Achilles, he has less agility. He's less of a good athlete. He's not as fast. He slows them down. He wasn't good in game one. He wasn't effective. So I agree with the idea that, yeah, in a maybe a game that he could really take advantage of Capella, but I think it's way more likely that if the Rockets were to beat the Warriors, and I don't think it'll happen, but if it happened, that it would come before yesterday as a result of them taking huge advantage of DeMarcus Cousins.
Yep.
That it would provide them a real path to victory in a best of seven.
So you're saying Rockets fans need to be peeing their pants right now because Cousins is out and now
the
Warriors are back on track.
But on the other hand, they lost.
Yeah.
It's not just that they lost DeMarcus Cousins. They lost the game. I mean, how in the world can the Warriors lose a game to the Clippers when they're up by 31 at home?
Am I the only one that when there's a huge comeback like this in a basketball game especially, it doesn't move the meter for me?
It should. This is the biggest comeback of all time.
I know it's the biggest comeback of all time, and that almost the more extreme it is, the more it feels just like a one-off weird occurrence. It would be one thing if the Clippers fought them tooth and nail for an entire game and then they win. Then I'm like, oh, wow, boy, the Warriors knew what was coming. This, I feel like they got ambushed and they got lazy. And if anything, it's a little kick in their butt, which I don't like. I don't like the Warriors getting a kick in the butt to remind them. I would have preferred that they breeze on through the Clippers and just kind of get ambushed by the Rockets instead of this.
But I also say, though, doesn't it say, hey, this is the Warriors at home. No matter what kind of lead they have now, you can come back.
Oh, yeah. The home court advantage there this year has been completely different. I mean,
the Clippers drew blood.
Klay Thompson has criticized the fans at Oracle. Steve Kerr kind of agreed with him. There's something kind of off in Golden State this year, and I would imagine it all starts with the fact that Kevin Durant is just he's leaving. He's being kind of dramatic about it. And there's just something amiss this year where it feels like, okay, it might be. Steve Kerr has had a few little quotes here and there about how all good things must end, like little cryptic things where you wonder, all right, maybe this really is the last hurrah for the Golden State Warriors. And let's be sure that they don't do it walking on a bed of roses out the door. Let's be sure we make it really ugly for them.
And to piggyback off that, with the actual home field advantage itself, it is, I imagine, turned into a bit of a wine and cheese kind of crowd at these Warriors games with all the Silicon Valley people. But also on top of that, it has become a spoiled, complacent crowd that expects victories and expects dominance at all times and doesn't know what to do when a 31-point rally like last night happens.
Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Tuesday, the Warriors fell to the Clippers last night, gave up a 31-point comeback, biggest in the history of the NBA playoffs.